Recorded Books and One Click Digital present Golden Riders by Ralph Cotton. Narrated by me, George Goodell. Part 1. Chapter 1. The Badlands, Arizona Territory. Arizona Ranger Sam Burrick rode a thin, steep game trail up through a maze of large, squat boulders and tall, standing chimney rocks. At the top of the trail, there would be four gunmen waiting for him. He was certain of it. There had been five gunmen starting out last week, but yesterday he had reduced their numbers by one when he put a well-placed bullet squarely in the back of Cordell Kane, right between the shoulder blades. It was the best shot he could get, so he'd taken it, knowing that one fewer gun to face in the end could make the difference between dying or staying alive. Now for the other four. Two of the gunmen waiting up ahead for him were bank robbers, cutthroat Teddy Bonsell, and an old ex-lawman turned outlaw, Jake Cleary. The other two were brothers by the name of Cundiff, Willie and Joe Cundiff. They would all be waiting with guns in hand, and this part of his hunt would be over, here, atop a rocky hillside in the blazing sun. This was where their trail had brought him, Sam told himself, looking all around. Here was where their lawlessness would stop. Beneath him, the Barb, a coppery black point dun, took the trail at an easy walk, raising its muzzle now and then and sniffing the air up ahead. Sam thought it reasonable to believe that as long as he and the dun had been trailing these two miscreants, the horse had come to know their scent as well as it knew the scent of a bear, a coyote. It was just a notion he'd come to consider, knowing that horses were not always given credit for being as smart or as crafty as, say, a dog, a wolf, or a mountain cat. Yet, he reminded himself, it had to be noted that the equine species had managed to survive among its many hungry predators for long ages past. It had to speak well for these fine, fleet animals. Doesn't it? He asked himself. Of course it does. He patted a hand on the dun's neck. The horse sawed its head a little and blew out a breath, as if in some silent agreement with him. They rode on another 300 yards through twists and sharp turns, around land-stuck boulders, and now and then past a lank and sparsely clad pine, whose very presence implied that God had a strange sense of humor. Finally, the top of the trail revealed itself against a blue, cloudless sky. There, the ranger brought the dun to a halt and stepped down from his saddle, rifle in hand. "Here's as far as you go, Copper," he said to the dun. The Barb took a sidestep away from him, as if to protest his decision and continue on in pursuit. But Sam held the reins firm-handed and rubbed the horse's nose. "You think so now, but what if it doesn't come out to suit us?" The horse chuffed and slung its sweaty head a little, but then settled under such sage reasoning. "That's what I thought," Sam said, cradling his Winchester in the crook of his elbow. He led the horse a few feet to a lank pine where he loosened the cinch and dropped his saddle from the horse's back. He slipped the bit from the horse's mouth and spun one of the reins around a stub of pine limb and tied it in a loose slip hitch that the horse could easily pull free if it needed to. The coppery dun stared at him almost warily, Sam thought, as he peeled the trail glove from his right hand and shoved it down behind his gun belt. "Don't start being a worrier on me," he said with a trace of a wry smile. He raised his big Colt from his holster, checked it, and let it hang down his side, his thumb over the hammer. "I plan on coming back for you." At the top of the trail, cutthroat Teddy Bonsell eased down behind the hot boulder he'd been lying on. His shirt glistened wet, covered with sweat from the heat of the boulder, standing exposed with no shade on its sides or face. He pulled his shirt free from being stuck against his wet chest and fanned it back and forth as if to cool himself. "Man," he said to Jake Cleary, sitting on the ground beside him in the boulder's shade, "if hell's any hotter than that, I pity the devil." "The devil ain't in hell," said Cleary, idly scratching his salt-and-pepper-colored beard. "He's smart enough he's laying somewhere in a cool stream. Do you see the lawman?"
"I saw him. He's headed up," said Cutthroat. "He's riding slow, watching the ground."
He gave a thin grin. "Riding right into our laps."